Wait, do we have like an intro to this at all? Like a thing that happens like at the beginning, or does it just like start like, yo, this is Survivor's ready. You ready
Well,
to
we wouldn't
you
say it like that, so.
No, but it would be like, yo, this is Survivor's ready. You ready to Survivor? That should be our intro.
No,
That's
what?
not, dude, that's
And
not
then I'll
cringy
jump
at
in and
all.
I'll be like, Survivor, I hardly know it.
You were ready for that one. You were excited to hit the jump on that.
Guys, I hope you know I started recording.
Yeah, I figured as
Okay.
much. I figured as much.
What's up, guys? It's the Survivor's Ready podcast.
Survivor, I barely know her.
Oh,
Oh my
dude, what? No
God.
way. That is hilarious.
Dude, you are savage. That's
No,
my
no, no.
Andrew Savage. Speaking
Damn
of
it, you
Andrew
took it from
Savage.
me.
So, speaking of Andrew Savage, we're doing best idol plays today on the podcast. So, we're all just gonna talk about some of the best and our favorite idol plays that have happened in Survivor. I think we can start off with one that you two love and I love a little bit less, but I also still love. One of you guys can take it away.
I think we should discuss it. I think this should be a therapy session on why Connor is hating on Kelly Wentworth's idol play at the final 12
Hey,
in Second Chance.
Kelly Wentworth stitched my TikTok.
Yeah, you
So,
don't want to make her mad. That's
yeah,
just not
our
fame.
number one Survivor alumni fan. I can't piss her off, so I'll go as light as I can. But I mean, I don't hate it, obviously. I think that's an obvious top 10 idol play in Survivor. I believe that's the one that negates the most votes in all of Survivor, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
It
I think there's
I don't
nine and or maybe Russell's in Samoa that might have also. I think that
No,
was eight.
because up until that
Yeah, because it
point,
was eight before, right? At the at
dude,
that
that was the
point.
final 11 and he negated eight, I'm pretty sure. That
Up
would
until
make.
that point when Wentworth played it, because Camden mentioned a video, and I think I can go ahead and link it in the description. Survivor Florida. That's a weird
Oh, we're
name.
messed up now.
Oh, we are messed up. I clicked over. Sorry. Survivor Florida, the YouTube channel made a video ranking all 91 idol
There's no
plays.
survivor in Florida.
The YouTube channel, you fool.
What does he mean?
You're fighting it out in Disneyland after it's closed or whatever.
Disney World, you scum.
You know what? I knew I said it wrong when I said it, but I was gonna go. I didn't understand why you had to call me out for it. But
I still
anyway.
want a Survivor season. Me and my friends have talked a bit about this before. A Survivor season, Jeff's Backyard edition.
Yeah.
And it's just they're just like, what's funny is I'm sure Jeff has a way nicer house than like anytime I envision this stupid idea. But I always just think of like my old house back in like this little neighborhood and like a fenced off backyard with like a little play set and like a tiny little garden. And I like to think he just like opens the slider door and comes out to the back porch and is just like, whoever can water these plants the best, I guess they'll win immunity today. And they're like, okay, on it. Like that sounds like the stupidest thing ever, but I feel like I would love that season.
But I feel like that
anyways,
would be a hilarious spoof.
Survivor Jeff's Backyard. Let's make it
Yeah,
happen.
let's make it
Happen,
happen.
CBS.
Anyways, in that video, when he talks about Wentworth's idol play, he does say up until that point, the most votes negated in a single idol play. So it leads me to believe that there is another one out there that does negate more, but I just don't know which one.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. 32, I don't think an idol was played.
No. Did Ty never
33,
play an
I. idol?
David's idol play
You
when
know
she
what?
saves
I think it might
Jessica.
be David's idol play in 33 to save Jessica. It was him and Ken.
No, that is not correct. It That was before the merge. So that was like, I think there was only like 9 people at most. It was either 9 or 8 people, and they negated 5. Those 5 people wanted to get Jessica out, but Jessica didn't believe that. So Ken and David were on the bottom and knew what the majority was doing, but Jessica thought that the plan was to vote someone within that 5. So they told the two of them told her, like, look, you're going to get voted out, and she just didn't believe them. And I'm pretty sure the vote ended up being a 5-2-1, and they played the idol for Jessica, and then bada bing, bada boom.
The only somewhat big ones I can think of are when Davey played his idol for Christian.
That was seven.
And when you don't have to say it like so mad. I'm just giving out some answers here. That was 7. And then Krishma in 39. I know she played one in the merge at some point. I don't know how many that negated, but 34, I don't think there was a large number of negations. 35, if that's even a word. Ben, would it been take away 7 votes?
6
no,
votes.
Or I, at least that finals.
He didn't do 9. He didn't take away 9.
Yeah,
no, I think it was 6.
He took away 6 because it was at the 7 when he took out Lauren.
So unless I'm missing something, I think Kelly Wentworth's is the most.
Yeah.
Unless we're counting Australian Survivor. If we're counting Australian Survivor, then it's a whole
thing. They've got a lot more motherfuckers on that.
they have more stuff going on. And in general, I feel like when we're talking about records and stuff,
it should be in that adaptation.
Talk about American, yeah. Because I feel like when you cross it over, that's not really fair. It's not like it's the same game, but not really. There's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
Why is Wentworth's not as amazing as people say?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, I think a lot of people love it just because of the iconic line, Wentworth does not count, happening a bunch of times. I understand, like, that's very, like, popular, and, like, that's like, oh, that's, like, an icon. Like, when you hear that, you know it's Survivor. I get it. But also, that was a situation where if the votes were split, that wouldn't have worked. So it's not like she it's not the fact that she did it to make that happen. It's just the fact that the entire group just all put their votes on her because they didn't think that she had it. I think it was less of something that she did and more of something that the entire majority didn't do. And I think that's less impressive than other idol plays that we'll talk about, where the person with the idol use it to their advantage to then either curry favor or flip the numbers or whatever, made an actual play out of it other than just negating all those votes because they didn't split it. That's why I think it's a little overrated. I still think it's great because it obviously negated the most votes ever, and it completely changed the landscape of the game, which is awesome. But I think it's a little overrated because of that. That's all.
I do think also that I guess I agree. It's not number one. It is not. but I do appreciate how much longevity that idol saved, because like she didn't just get voted out the next time, you know, she made it all the way to 4, and it wasn't just off of like idols and winning, sort of like Mike in season 30, like played an idol and then won out the rest of the season, where he like would have been voted out if he didn't win any of those. But like Wentworth used that idol and then was still able to curry favor with the rest of the tribe and wiggle her way back in there, unlike Kelly Wigglesworth couldn't do. But also just the fact that, like, I'm pretty sure she got that in episode 1. And
she did get it early on.
It was the first immunity challenge. Of that season, like, an idol hadn't been played yet, and everyone was like, are there idols this season? Is this a season where it's just like there's going to be no idols? And then it ended up being that, like, oh, she revealed that, like, there are idols, and I've had one literally this entire time. So I think a lot of her sneakiness makes it cooler. But
I mean, if you think about it with that aspect, and that just kind of just knocks Jeremy down because he knew there were idols. Why didn't he push the split more?
Yeah. Now, I do think that it is stupider of that majority alliance to not split than it is like amazing of her to play it, because you know, like, you're on the bottom of a 12 person team, you're in the bottom three, of course you're gonna play your idol. And it just like, it was lucky that they didn't split their votes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not a huge knock on Jeremy. I think
I think there were a lot more reasons.
I think there's more reasons for it, but like if you think about it, he had two, and if everybody thinks that he doesn't have any or that there aren't any in the season, that'll help him out more. So I guess it does make sense for him not to split.
I was also going to say, to play devil's advocate, if you were to like interject and be like, no, there's definitely idols. Well, how do you know, bud?
Yeah.
And then that would instantly happen.
There's no way there's not. Come on, guys.
I guess, but like the idea that there's not idols in a season, which actually raises a good idea, and the next all returner season, that would be so cool if they just didn't have idols and then people just speculate the whole time. That would cause for some cool gameplay. Not that I want like idols to go away, but just like a cool like change in the season.
A back to basic season.
Yeah, a back to basic season.
I think that's the closest we'll ever get to a back to basic season, because I mean, with the absolute advantage Armageddon that we're having, like the only way you can do that is by taking away one piece of the puzzle, and that being idols.
Yeah, you don't even have to take away all the other advantages. Just take away idols, because that's like what people form their gameplay around. And once people start to realize, dude, are there no idols? Let's not. Why would we split votes? But like splitting votes would then throw off plans and stuff. So that would be cool. I don't know. Just an idea. But either way, that's why I think that idol play is a little overrated. I would like to shift the focus to an idol play that I think does not get enough love, and that would be Natalie Anderson and San Juan del Sur.
Yes, sir.
That is one of the best ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I know people like in respect that idol play, and I don't think it's underrated. I just don't like when you talk about idol plays, or at least when I talk about idol plays with other people. People always talk about Russell being the idol king. Tony doing all of his crazy stuff, Poverty and Heroes vs. Villains. You hear all the big names. Natalie isn't necessarily a big name, but she made maybe the smartest, one of the smartest idol plays in terms of what she did with it. Realizing where she was in the game, she realized that if she didn't take out, so it's at this point in the game, it's her, Jacqueline, Missy and Baylor, who are mother and daughter, and Keith. And at the final five, she realizes if we vote out Jacqueline here, like Missy and Baylor wanted to do, if Natalie goes along with that plan, she's like, well, then it's if Keith wins immunity, then I'm gone. The Missy and Baylor aren't going to vote each other out. So how do I use this to my advantage? And not only use it to her advantage, but also curry favor with the jury. So she says, well, go along with that plan, tells Jacqueline on the side, who's on the bottom, vote for Baylor so she can get Baylor out, because Missy at this point's injured, so she can't compete in challenges, so it just gives her a better edge in the challenge. Tells her to vote for Baylor, and I forget who Keith voted for, but that's irrelevant because that wouldn't have mattered anyway.
I think it was just a 3-2 vote. They voted for Jacqueline and Natalie, and
I'm pretty sure, and
it was smart for her to also not say that, because then it could come off because it comes off as an effective idol play instead of her just playing it when she could have just convinced Keith. She could have just convinced Keith to vote Baylor out. Honestly, hold on, we have a siren.
But yeah, it's also just like a great a final move, like nail in the coffin of like, here's why I should win. And like, yeah. I made this gigantic move at the very end.
Yeah. And it's like, she does that, goes up and is super like showboaty about it. But she's like, her character isn't like a showboat person, but she like shows the layers to it. So she goes up and she's like, well, idols are more fun when you play for somebody else. Jacqueline, did you vote for who I told you to vote for? Deliberately saying, did you do what I told you to do? Played
did
it for
you
Jackson.
Do what I did, little puppy dog? You
yeah.
Fucking.
And then plays it for her. John goes like, oh, I love her. I knew I loved her. Boom. Currying favor with the whole jury. Everybody's like, dude, that was awesome. Totally puts her in a good light. Gets out Baylor. All she has to do is beat Keith in this last challenge, and she wins the game. And that's exactly what happened, if I'm not mistaken. And so on top of
Keith goes out at four.
At four, yeah. And on top of that being amazing, like, she just has a great end game. Like, her other play when she fakes not knowing that she should have voted Alec out, like, her, the way she looks at the game when she's actually in it and not on the edge of extinction, like, she can actually really make some cool plays with the way she identifies her position in the game. And I think that does not get enough love. Maybe my favorite play. I go back on it all the time, but I really like that one.
I will say a bit of a devil's advocate in saying that she is at five, and determining what makes a great idle play is using said idle play to increase the longevity of your course in the game. That was the last time that she could play the idle. And most times, most people in at that point in the game, they just don't play the idle. So I think it is a great idle play, and it is one of the best. But there is that added factor of, like, at five, she might have just not played it. And, yeah, it could have gone one way or it could have gone the other. But at the same point, no, I'm just going to cut all that. I'm just gonna cut all that.
But the reason
makes sense, the longevity of it doesn't matter as much as a few other ones, just because it did happen at five. I still think that I mean, I guess it's a reason not to knock it down, but to put other idle plays over it, just because they do that and this one doesn't. But I think, like, this was the best possible move she could have done at her spot in the game, where she was in the
game. A very unique spot within itself.
The way I see it, is at that point in the game, playing an idol is not just for longevity. It's to make it's a tool to make a move. It's an advantage in the game. What you do with it is what you do with it. And that's why I think plays like this are super amazing, because she did something that really hasn't been done before. The idea of where her position was, if she voted out Jacqueline there and doesn't beat Keith, she goes home. If she beats Keith, like, how does that, like, does she, like, does, or my fault. If she beats Keith when she has Baylor going against her, who is a better competitor, if Baylor wins, she goes home. If Keith wins, she goes home. In the other scenario, if Jacqueline wins, she goes to the end. If anybody but Keith wins, she goes to the end. So doing that play basically ensures her that she has the slimmest chance of not making it to the end, where no matter who she's against, she'll win in the end. So that's how I see it. If she went the way that it was going and just voted Jacqueline out, it's way harder for her to get to the end. And she has a one less move on her resume. So I don't necessarily think longevity is always the most important part. Making sure it's the biggest flashy thing ever, not always the – we've seen how that doesn't work out always. But yeah. I think in that scenario, that was perfectly well executed. And I think that was the best thing she could have done. And I think that it is in some scenarios, calling it on to the end, going to the end of the game and be like, hey, I had an idol this whole time. I never had to play it. That would be great. But she realized that she wasn't in a scenario where that was smartest for her to do that, because it was going to be way harder for her to get to the end. You still need to get to the end. You can't win if you're at the end, unless you're at the end of the game. So I applaud her for that.
Yeah, it's not a thing that it's like it should be knocked down for, is that, oh, it didn't have longevity. It's just that other idol plays also have an added longevity factor to it. So that might be a reason to build it up, or to say that, like, that idol play is better than this idol play because it had this added factor. But you could also go back and forth on, like, what plenty other factors Natalie's
fair enough
idol I... also had. So who can really say? I can, because I know the answer to this question.
What is
the best idol play ever? And it is only my opinion, so take it with a grain of salt. But I believe that Russell's idol play in Heroes versus Villains at, I want to say it was final 16 or something around there, is the best idol play. One, it wasn't for him, it was for Parvati. Two, he and Parvati ended up in the end, you know. So in terms of longevity, that has to be, like, one of the best ones, just, like, that they would have been knocked out one after the other at, like, 16 and 15, but instead they both make it to the very, very end. Also, just his intuition made him go against giving the idol to himself in a split vote decision. It's crazy that he was able to convince a split vote to not happen, because, you know, this is a season of all-stars, you know, this is a season of the best of the best, and splitting the vote is the easiest thing to do. So why would all-stars go against that? Let me paint the picture here. Russell, Parvati, and
Danielle
are a group of three in the bottom against a group of six. The six say, hey, we're going to vote 3-3 on Parvati and Russell just in case Russell has an idol, blah, blah, blah. Tyson, though, really wanted Parvati out, but the rest of the five kind of wanted Russell out. So they said, you know, like, we just want Russell out if he plays the idol. I guess Parvati goes out. If he doesn't, we really want Russell out. Tyson said, I really want Parvati to go. So he switched his vote because Russell came up to him before it happened, and he said, like, yeah, I think I'm going to play the idol for myself. And he was like, I know I need to play the idol for myself, and I know you all are going to split votes, and I just want to stay here again. So I'm going to play it for me. That tells him, like, oh, I have an option, or I have a way to get Parvati out, plus Russell wastes his idol, which at the end of the day is really stupid, because if Russell does play his idol, then what Tyson wants happens, and Parvati goes home if they do the split thing and everything. So it was crazy that Russell was able to convince Tyson to split his vote, or to change his vote, even though it was really stupid. And it's crazy that Tyson did it, and that Russell then had the intuition to say, like, I'm going to give my idol to Parvati, not me. And if this goes wrong, then he just goes home, and right then and there at, like, the final, like, 16 or whatever. And then because of that idol play also, they got so much political power in that tribe. They weren't, like, they were still in the minority. After that, it was a 5-3. So you would think, like, oh, if they just lose again, then they'll just do the same thing and split votes and go for Russell and Parvati. But then that makes it harder because, you know, what if they play an idol on the three we have, and then we just have two on another person? And they just created so much fear and created so much political power within that tribe that one idol change at just a 3-6 vote ended up being so much power to them, and that they got to go to the end of the game because of that. That's what I think is the best idol play ever. Yeah,
it's crazy because of that, Coach and Jerry basically were like, we're going to just make our own two-person alliance in the middle and then decide what we want to go from there. Because
we'll let you know.
Because from that six, Tyson goes, Coach and Jerry just stay in the middle, basically. Then they kind of jockey back and forth, and that's kind of like what the whole position is. And then it's literally after that one vote, it's Rob, Sandra, and what's her face?
Courtney.
Yeah. By themselves. It's like, wow, we somehow lost three members in one vote of our alliance, which is incredible. It's like, what the hell just happened? But another reason why I think that play is so amazing is when you think about it, and this is another thing, that's the first All-Star season since All-Stars. So a lot of those players on that season never had idols before. Like, Rob never had to deal with idols before that season. Jerry never had to deal with idols. A lot of those players, this is their first time dealing with it. And you can see it, like, in the episodes, like, during the tribal councils, they're like, the craziest thing about playing this time around is Hidden Immunity idols. I never had those before. But Russell convinced Tyson, a player who dealt with Hidden Immunity idols before. Like, so it's so crazy to me that he convinced someone who should be the one to understand how they work. So, and Tyson's not a bad player either, because when you see him in Blood vs. Water, he completely understands how the game works. I think that's such a testament to how crazy of a player Russell is, to get inside your head. And it's just some of the things that these players do because of Russell is crazy to me. Mm-hmm. So That
it's
I agree,
that miss.
Using that power is another reason why I agree with you. I think that's a great idol play. Using the idol to do something other than just negate votes makes it a better play. Just because of what you do at Tribal Council, if you can do other stuff before Tribal Council with an idol, that's even more impressive to me.
Pele, what do you got?
Yeah, what are you weighing on this one, Pele?
Or just for your pick, whichever. Or both.
Why not both? I think when it comes down to this, it kind of blows everything else out of the water, man. Like in terms of, like we were saying earlier, in terms of longevity, in terms of strategy, in terms of building a true bond and an alliance that literally lasts until the final three.
Yeah, like, it is. That's crazy. What a difference a day makes when you play an idol. Like, really? Right?
And I mean,
even when you're on the bottom,
there are still,
because he did a similar thing in Samoa where it was 8-3 and then one idol play. It's like it's still 7-3. You'd think that they could just like do what they do, but no.
I just really, in that same idol play in Samoa, he when he plays his idol, he's afterwards, he even gets Shambo and John to flip with him for the next
one. Yeah.
So he still does.
That's kind of his thing. Yeah, that's kind of his thing where he just like he plays an idol and be like, dude, this is like my third idol. I will find another. You better come to my side or you're gone. And people fall for it. I don't know. It just
it's crazy.
He puts in so much fear, which is also why I love like the lesson of Survivor of his two seasons, because he made it to the end both times and didn't win. And the lesson is that like fear isn't what wins the game, you know. Like you can put fear into people and you'll make it very far, but you can't win like that.
Yeah. I mean, you got second his first time and then no votes the second time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I still think he deserves second place. But you know, that's another.
Russell deserves second in both, just like
Michelle.
In the season that he has the best idol play of all time, he didn't get a single vote. That's crazy. I mean, to be fair, it did happen pre-merge, and after the merge, a lot of stuff changes, especially for Parvati. You know, she makes that big idol play herself. She plays the idol for both Jerry and Sandra, and does a huge move in her own that Russell had no idea of at all. So
he didn't realize that she had her own. He gave her one. He didn't realize that she had another.
Yeah, right. Which also kind of plays into the idol play that I want to talk about. The idol play that Denise does in Winners at War, the Queenslayer move. She already has an idol for herself. I forget at what point this is. I think it's like right before the merge. She already has an idol that she had before the swap. And on top of that, in the swap, I believe it's just her and Jeremy against all regular Dekal, or all former Dekal.
Got Sandra, Tony,
I think Kim.
Kim.
And so, Jeremy. No, I think so it was only five people.
Yeah, it was just those five. Yeah.
And in that tribal, before the tribal, Sandra wanted to garner a favor with Denise and build a bond with her by giving her, I believe, did she give her a fire token and the idol?
So, no, this is what it was. It was, you give me a fire token, I'll give you an idol. Well, you gave me two fire tokens, one before Tribal Council, one after. That's what the plan was. Which also, when you, not even like was that stupid, but also it was just like they didn't understand the value of a fire token. So when you look at it as a season as a whole, that was a horrible trade. Two fire tokens is not worth an idol.
Yeah.
So, I mean, absolutely. I don't blame her. I don't blame Sandra for that because they didn't understand the value of the fire tokens. I commend her in the moment, because in the moment I'm like, you know what, that's really smart. These things are probably going to be worth it at the end. They weren't. They really weren't that powerful.
They were only worth it if you stuck around on the edge.
It was also smart to make that kind of move that like I think she was thinking, like, if we go into the merge and I make this move, I would be in more of a majority than I would be if I stuck with these original people.
Yeah, agreed.
And just
and
like
not only
Russell...
that, she was like...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go. No, you got it.
Just like how Russell didn't know about Parvati's idol that she had before, Sandra had no idea that Denise had an idol beforehand. So Sandra thought, clean slate, she's going to save Denise, she's going to make it to merge and have no blood on her hands going into this, not having any connections as to why I believe Jeremy would have gone home in that scenario if Denise would have been saved. But
I think Sandra told her to vote Tony.
She what Sandra said is like, I don't vote Kim. I'm fine with either of the boys going home is basically what she I remember her saying.
Yeah. Because Jeremy and Denise were together, and then Sandra said, like, as long, like, I want me, you, and Kim to work together. So, you know, I give you this idol, you use it, and I'm not going to vote with you. I'm going to make it look like I'm still with those other people, but you use that idol and vote whoever you want out. And then who she wanted ended up being Sandra, so...
What a,
I remember
what
that
a
being like,
move.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, Denise. Go, that was cooler than anything you did on your original season.
She garnered so much respect amongst everybody that was at that tribal in it of herself. And I think it's a big reason as to why she's like, we don't see a whole lot of her in the edit throughout the rest of the season, but she does become like a true key player for the majority alliance moving forward. And when we're talking longevity when playing an idol, she goes all the way to six. Like, that's some pretty good
Well, yeah, she needed there. To play an idol for herself at that tribal council regardless. That needed to happen. So
yeah, for sure.
You're right about that. The added layer is what else she did with the other. And I remember when, because we had a lot of discussions, like, after every episode about all the moves that happened this season. And I remember us talking about, man, like, I know what she was thinking, like, play for Jeremy. Then she just decides who goes home, for like, for a fact. But, like, would it have been smarter to keep the other one? Who knows? You know what I mean? Because she would have been the only one. Because she could play that idol and still have another one without anybody knowing. Sandra was the only one who knew.
Mm-hmm.
So
her, Jeremy, and Tony ended up being a pretty solid group of people throughout the rest of the season. So I think that it worked out very well. I guess we'll never know how well it could have worked out if she did work with Sandra. But
I mean, yeah, even aside from that, including Kim, they're all pretty integral to like the main narrative of Tony versus Kim, you know.
I was sad because I remember seeing that happen, being like, oh, Denise is going to be a huge powerhouse, and then the edit just kind of didn't really highlight her as much after that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Malcolm tweeted out after that episode being like, y'all were sleeping on her this whole time, I told you.
Yeah,
and that was awesome. I remember seeing that tweet and being like, that's awesome, dude. I'm really like, I'm happy for you for being happy for her, you know what I mean? I'm a part of this, guys,
and hope you come back because I don't want Game Changers to be your ending legacy.
Yeah,
speaking of Game Changers, Malcolm's exit also has to do with a pretty strong idol play.
Yeah, I guess. I don't want to call that a strong idol play. I want to call that a JT's stupid play once again.
But
which is like Ty playing the idol, though, and Ty, picking the right person, first of all, and also just like that group of players went further than the other group of players. All of them went further.
Yeah, exactly. It is crazy to look at it from the season, like overarching, that it was like, oh, these two tribes are going together. One tribe of six and one tribe of five. The tribe of five somehow survived that tribal council, and basically they all made it pretty far, whereas the rest of that tribe just – three of those guys got picked off pre-merge. So Malcolm goes there. JT goes right after. Sandra goes after that. Varner goes after that.
I'm pretty sure they all went right after one another.
I'm pretty sure Michaela was on that tribe, so she made it to merge.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. But who's the other person that was on that tribe? Oh, Aubrey.
Well,
Aubrey. That's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah. But Aubrey had no idea what was going on all season, so who cares? Another reason why, going back to last podcast, why I think that she's overrated and Michelle was deserving of her win. Because Game Changers, no idea what's going on. Edge of Extinction, no idea what's going on. So yeah. Michelle... not in the majority, but knew what was going on. Okay. And she played from the bottom and she played it well. So I think the sample size, now that they've played multiple times, I feel like people can confidently make that argument that Aubrey only had one good season and Michelle was
due.
Yeah. Michelle had two great ones.
I want to know the stats of, cause there's stats of like you, didn't get the vote right, or you voted for the wrong person, the person who didn't go home. But I want to know the stat of like number of times someone voted for someone and they thought that person was going home and that ended up not happening. Cause like that, or like at least Michelle was like, well, I'm going to try and do this plan, but it probably not going to work.
Yeah. It's
what
like
I want is going to go home. And then Aubrey was just every vote in Game Changer. She was like, what? What? No way.
She's like, what? Good play, guys. What? What? This is crazy.
What?
Oh, I won immunity. Let's make a play. Oh, what? I got blindsided and I had the immunity necklace. What? I suck. I'm the worst.
No, I think Ty's play there, it does hurt, especially because the three of us were such big fans of Malcolm. And we've wanted him to go so far in that season, so it really sucked to see him go so soon, especially off of such a bad play on JT's end.
I think he's the one of maybe out of people that will play again. I think Cerie is the person who I want to win the most that's never won, but I don't think she's going to play again. Out of the people that I think could play again, I think I want Malcolm to win the most.
Maybe, more, yeah, I think so.
More than anybody. And, like, that season, I remember I was like, dude, let's go, man. It was really just JT, and this is another reason why JT's overrated, because he is so bad. Like, two of the worst moves ever in Heroes vs. Villains, giving away his idol to Russell and telling the other tribe that they're there with who they're voting for. I don't know what.
Think that was stupider.
If they didn't have an idol, what was the plan there? Just as a courtesy thing? What? Like, what does that garner you? How does that garner you favor with Brad? If you guys are boys from the original tribe, you guys can still link up later. What was that going to do for you in that moment other than screw you? The only thing that it leaves it open to is you getting screwed by an idol.
All he did was go over and say, we're not voting for you. Isn't that
what he says? No, he says, I'm sorry, Brad, but we're all voting for Sierra, is what he says.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
It's so dumb. It's so stupid.
I think that's way stupider than giving an idol. Because at least he thought that, like, that could bring Russell to their side. And they were kind of thinking, like, that's our only option. But, like, that was just stupid.
Yeah, and not only that, but he follows it up with something even stupider by knowing he's on the outs, and he doesn't even bring his idol that he finds to Tribal Council. So stupid. JT is so bad at Survivor. I'm sorry, buddy. Like, that's bad, man.
He got by with this.
And I can say that because I've never played, so you have nothing to hold against me. So I can say that with confidence.
Even though he won and had, like, one of the most dominant wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely crazy to see the downfall.
That's the thing, man. There's just players that will not survive in the wrong era. Because that was – Token Scenes is on the cusp of new era Survivor. It's close. But it's still very much like if you're a likable person, you'll win the game. That'll carry you a long way. People were in that game saying, oh, you know what? Take me out. I like JT so much. I want him to win. Yeah. People don't do that anymore. JT can't coast on that anymore. And also, people just didn't like him in other seasons. Like, Sandra didn't like him at all.
Yeah.
I guess Sandra doesn't like a lot of people, to be honest.
True.
I feel like for the most, she hates more people than she likes in seasons, which is funny. But going back to that idol play real quick, I don't even give that to Ty. Ty had no idea what the fuck was going on. The reason why is because he told Brad, and Brad was just like this. Because I remember he was holding his arms like this. I'm gonna play this fool. And he turns around and he goes like, fucking points to the side. Pretty lady. So I credit that to Brad, honestly. So Brad never found an idol, but honestly, if we're
going
to get
one finger, he controlled it.
If we're going to get real technical about this, Brad really made that happen. And honestly, he did. And he talked about that in Final Tribal Council, which is a real shame because I think that just proves that no matter what you do pre-merge, it doesn't matter. Because he talked about that at his Final Tribal. He's like, I mean, I also like basically was the reason why Malcolm went home. My relationship with JT is why he came over to me and told me what was happening. I knew that Ty had an idol because of my relationship with him. So not I was told who I was just sitting there and I was told who was getting voted for, knew where the idol was, told the person with the idol where to play it. And I got maybe the biggest power player out of the game at that point. But since it happened pre-merge, didn't matter. So because nobody talks about that. But like, honestly, that's a huge move for Brad. And that was the moment where I was just like, all right, I'm like a Brad guy now, because I remember being like, oh, damn, that's awesome. And I wanted Brad to win that whole season, even though I knew why Sarah won and everything. I remember just being a staunch supporter of his, and he even talked about it. It's not like he forgot to talk about it, just people didn't care, which is so stupid, because the entire time everybody's like, oh man, we need to get Malcolm out. Oh dude, Malcolm, because next challenge, like, Malcolm's gone, the game is on now. Well, okay, it was big then, but now it's not a big deal. Come on now.
I don't know if it was not taken seriously at all, because I mean, Brad still got votes in the end. It was just that Sarah had a more impressive resume.
Well, yeah.
I think moves like getting the legacy advantage and then using it.
I just don't remember anybody on the jury being like, guys, like, remember that? And like, I don't remember anybody saying that. I think people were more focused on his challenge prowess instead of some of his other stuff. But either way, that was a sad moment in Survivor watching Malcolm leave. But I do want to touch back on the Parv play in Heroes vs. Villains. That's another one where she played two idols not for herself. Russell played one not for himself. She went the extra mile and he's like, you know what? I'm going to one up Russell and play two not for myself. But that's another example of it's what you do before the idol play that makes it amazing. She was able to, so she has a relationship with Amanda. Amanda comes up to her. She played with her and was in an alliance with her. She could tell that Amanda's like, oh, you got to play that thing. She could tell that Amanda's lying. She knows if she's telling the truth or not. She just played a whole season with her.
Yeah, I think that one's more amazing because like she sniffed out a lie. It wasn't just that like Amanda came up, told her the truth, and then she went along with that truth, kind of like what Brad did.
Yeah.
But like Amanda like tried to lie to her and Parvati just sniffed it out.
Yeah, sniffed it out. And not only that, but then she also realized, because during the immunity challenge, it was her and Danielle at the end. And she's like, Danielle's like, oh, I want this one. You have the idol. And she's like, okay, drops down. So not only is Danielle safe, she knows that she's like, Amanda said that she's like, you got to play it. So she knows that Amanda's lying and they're not voting for Parvati. And she knows that the Hero Tribe thinks that Russell's with them. So she knows for a fact, if she correctly sniffed out the fact that Amanda was lying to her, she knows for a fact that Jerry and Sandra are the only two options to be voted for. So that's pretty amazing that she's like, you know what? Let's just give them both to them. I don't even need to guess. I doing this will guarantee that we run the merge. And there's three different components to it, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I do love that. You know, it's really hard to say or to hear like someone say like, we're voting against you. You have two idols and you don't use any of them on yourself. That's pretty commendable. But I do always knock that one down a little bit, at least like behind Russell's, just because like, you know, she used two when she only needed one. I feel like it would have been more impressive if
she guessed correctly.
If she just guessed correctly. But also then, too, I guess the like going back to like there's factors and everything. It's like just being able to say like you had two and being able to use two not on yourself, even though you were told that you were getting votes. Even if you like thought that was a lie, that'd be really hard to do if that were me. If I used two idols on someone and I get voted out right then, I'd be so pissed. So I would be, if I had two idols, I'm sure I would be like scared to not play one for myself. But she was calm, cool, and collected and stuck to the plan.
That goes back to the argument. That goes back to the argument of the good moves, like great moves in Survivor, are just bad moves that worked out. You know, or bad, no, my bad. Bad moves are just great moves that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, JT's idol giving to Russell could have been amazing.
It could have been a really good move, because at that point in the merge, Russell's vote was kind of swaying, because the only person that he really had an allegiance to was Parv. So imagine if Russell was able to take that idol from JT, keep that knowledge to himself, and garner the votes of all the heroes, and just plow through the villains that were left. Obviously, it wouldn't be like a total like pagonging, because Parv was still there. Parv still had her idol. It wouldn't be an easy feat. But I still think Russell could have gotten it done, and we could have seen a totally different endgame of Heroes vs. Villains. So it could have been a really good move. But thank God it wasn't.
I also think why it's tough. I go back and forth on whether I think Russell's play or Parv's play is better. With Parv's, it's her playing two solidifies why they moved on and they dominated the end game. If she played one and she played, so this is the way I look at it. So you have the option. You play one. If she plays it on Jerry, that's the perfect case scenario. That makes it an amazing play. She still has another idol and she's good. She plays it on Sandra. Sure, she keeps an idol. But she plays it on Sandra or herself. Sure, she keeps an idol, but Jerry gets voted out, and then they just get slowly voted off. So in all, and then in the fourth scenario, obviously, is what she did. She played both. It seemed the high risk, high reward scenario there seems to me like she had three options to play one idol on. So it's a 33% chance you're right. Whereas if she plays both, that's 100% chance that you're right and you're gonna take control of the merge. I think it's smarter to have played both there, unlike Denise's, because I think that it's like she knew for a fact that she was getting the votes. She could have held on to the other one. With this one, it's she doesn't know if Jerry or Sandra is getting the votes. Playing the two 100% means that they take over the merge. So I think that's why it's the smarter way to do it then. Obviously, if she played the one for Jerry, that is the best case scenario, but it's smarter to play both, if that makes sense.
And I mean, how many times do you get the opportunity to play two idols at one tribal council, you know?
Yeah.
Single player. Because we have seen a couple of occasions where there have been more than one idol played by two separate players. But I think it's really awesome that just that one player, Parvati, was able to have that moment and play two idols and give, like, you see when she plays, because she plays the first idol for Sandra, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see when she plays that first idol for Sandra, there's still some glimmer of hope in the hero's eyes. And then that showmanship is what I love. I love, like the pizzazz of it all when it comes to a good idol play. And in my opinion, none can quite do it better than my main man, Ben, with his Ben bombs. My God. When Ben drops his first Ben bomb and takes out Lauren, I think the first time that a soul vote was cast.
This is season 35, correct? I didn't hear you say what season this was. Thank you.
Yes. Season 35, Heroes vs. Healers vs. Hustlers. One of the weirdest
one of my ideas. Favorite.
Oh yeah,
most underrated,
low key banger.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised to see that high up on anybody's list. But man, I feel like the overall controversy leading around, like surrounding around Ben's win, what with his next two idol plays and the fire making final four that was introduced last minute, it sort of diminishes what was this great idol play. And I feel like everybody sort of overlooks it in a way. But in that point in the game, Ben had burned Chrissy and Ryan. Nobody really could work with Dr. Mike. He was the true bottom of it all. Not like
he's,
that.
He's a bottom.
The true bottom.
Okay. And Ben found himself a part of the Majority Alliance, a Majority Alliance that was planning on turning on him. Now, granted, Ben is kind of known for being a little hot-headed and a little preemptively stricken. So I don't think that the majority were going to vote him out right then at that tribal had he not gone and blown things up and told everybody about Lauren's extra vote and told everybody about Lauren's idol and gone out and done all these things that are kind of rookie mistakes by a Survivor player. But having the wherewithal to have the fake idol with you, to wear the fake idol around your neck, and then lead one of the craziest tribals all season long and have a huge one-on-one with Lauren right then and there. To be honest, if I was sitting there at that tribal, I don't know who I vote for. I don't know, do I put my vote on Ben and worry about whether or not that idol is real? Or do I just vote with Lauren or vote with Ben and vote Lauren? It's a true toss up, but to see that it was all six on Ben and Ben gets up and just, you know, my wife led me to this, or I made this one when I was reading the letter from my wife, but when I read that, she led me to this one, so I want to play this for myself. It was the right mix of showmanship and pizzazz for me. And it just makes me really wish that a lot more people would give it the recognition I feel like it deserves.
I'd like to highlight an anti-idol move from the same season. I think this is the best combating of any idol ever. I guess except for the idol nullifiers, but whatever. But the final five. Devin does a move that I don't think has been done before. It's final five. It's the four against Ben, and Ben doesn't win immunity, so they think we can finally get Ben out, and it doesn't seem like he has an idol. But Devin thinks, I mean, if he does have an idol, then I'm going home, because I think Ben's going to vote for me. So he cleverly votes for Mike, and makes it a three on Ben, one on Devin, one on Mike vote. When the three get taken away from Ben's idol, then it's just a one-on-one vote, Devin and Mike. And now it's up to Chrissy, Ryan, and Ben to re-vote and save Devin. And he picked the perfect person. He picked Mike, and he knew that Ryan and Chrissy would have his back and keep Devin. And also what I love about that is just that he didn't even like do that and then like make a case. It was like, see, okay, I knew this was going to happen, so I did this, and I'm hoping Chrissy, Ryan, you can keep me because I'm more important because blah, 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 blah. He was just so cool, calm, and collected. And Ben, I remember Ben being like, your fate's in their hands now. And he's just like, I know. And like when the vote was read for Mike, he was just like, sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
So cool.
It was so cool because Mike was like, did you vote for me? And he's like, sorry, Mike. Like, in that sorry, Mike, he was saying, you're going home. Like, but he's so cool that he said it like that, which is awesome. And that's just like the biggest stain on that season, because Devin would have won if that fire making challenge wasn't a thing. Let's be honest.
Like, I think we need to have a podcast on season 35 because we don't have like differing I have no idea what I
was going to say. You tried to say views and opinion.
Maybe, yeah. Appeals. We don't have different opinions or that different of opinions, but Pele's a big Ben fan and I'm a huge Ben hater. I don't know how much Connor hates Ben, but I know that me and Connor both really wanted Devin to win and are really sad that Devin didn't. So I feel like at some point we need to have a 35 review, because also that's like all of ours, like one of our favorite seasons. I feel like a lot of people don't have it up there.
I think if Devin wins that season, that could be that's a universal top five season. That would have been awesome. Like the power shifts in that season are so great, because you followed up with Ghost Island, which is just a straight like one tribe on one tribe the whole time season, which I just don't like. David versus Goliath, you get a bit of that till the end. It just seems to be David versus Goliath the whole time. 38 just wasn't good. 39 wasn't good. So like it's like 35, and I mean obviously 40's a mixed bag. I wouldn't say it's bad, but 35 in my opinion is my highest ranked like last season, like my most recent highest ranked. I know people love David versus Goliath, but I think I would have 35 above that. If Devin won,
I would too.
Yeah, if Devin won, that would be the best 30 season.
It would be in like my top three.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love Devin. I still would love to see him play again. And like how we were saying with Malcolm, I think if we were to see him again, I would want Devin to win more than ever, because the level of play that he was able to execute on that season, top notch. Unlike any other.
I just also think it's one of those things where it's just like, that's just such a missed opportunity, because I feel like he wouldn't win if he comes back, because it's purely just like, oh, everybody trusts Devin because of how cool he is, and like that's how he got far. And if he plays it, I don't think he will play.
And he was underestimated.
Yeah,
people kind of thought he was like, oh, you're probably like the dumb surfer boy.
Yeah, and he played that up really well. I do remember an early confessional of his being like, wow, Lauren's doing really well. She's almost playing the game as well as I am. And I'm like, dude, you're not playing that well. And then just watching the next couple episodes, I'm like, okay, maybe he has been playing really amazing this whole time. Because I always like loved his duo with Ryan, and I always just loved that. And then I think the fact him coming, another great thing by him, this is just a Devin podcast at this point, but another great thing by him is him telling Ben to go undercover with Chrissy and Ryan. That was awesome too. Not only he had a great strategic mind along with his social mind, with his social play, he was great.
Camden and I were talking about this before we started recording, and we sort of depicted that Ben going undercover like that, you never really saw something along those lines executed so well in terms of a double agent play up until that point. And when it was executed to that manner, and I feel like it was sort of a perfect storm for this sort of scenario because everything was split up so differently. I mean, JP believed he was with the majority at a certain point. Joe and Mike thought that they were in with the majority. Like the majority was shifting so well between literally everybody in the merged tribe. So at that point in the game, it was like I said, the perfect storm to execute.
Yeah, really. The person who positioned themselves the best was Devin. He positioned himself in the best way to win the game. Because in every other alliance, basically, there was somebody that was hated or more of a target more than him. You had Joe up on the – with him and Mike. He would go before him. Lauren obviously went before him. Chrissy would have went before him. So no matter which way he went, until the end, obviously, once it was a sure thing, it's like, oh, well, Chrissy's winning these. Devin's the next best here. That's why Ben went for him. But, like, he positioned himself so well that, like, it's like no wonder he got that far. Like, no wonder. He did every way it could have went, he was backed up. So Devin, best Survivor player to never win, best Survivor player ever. Yes,
are you? I don't.
I put him up there.
It's a hot take, but I think you can make a case for it.
I think he's really good. I think he's a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think that also that alliance made up another great anti-idol play, which is at the final eight. The beauty of like the double agent thing is that in their season it lasted a long time. It lasted a couple rounds, and so at nine they started doing this where they said, okay, there's us four, and we are going to go after the three of JP, Chrissy, and Ryan. So us four against those three, but we're gonna need Mike and Joe, so that we'll have six against their three. But we don't need 6-3. We could still just have 5-4. That way, Ben can pretend to be with that three, and then Mike and Joe think that Ben are with that three. So not only are we going against these people, this group of three were also like lying to this other group of two and just like making them think that they're so much like with us, but instead we're actually just, you know, we're just using them. And then at the final eight, they vote for Ryan, and it makes Ryan think that like, oh, they're doing the five of those people are going to do a 3-2 split. So I could play my idol for myself and negate three votes, and me, Christy, and Ben, if I'm right and the three is on me and I negate that, then us three can control who goes home. But then, of course, Ben wasn't actually with them. The four of them vote for Joe. And then I love that because they kind of say, like, we don't even need these two guys anymore. We don't, like, we just use them. And like we could have like made a connection with them, but like we didn't want to. Just wanted them out.
And it's so awesome because Joe's like, Ben, I'm sorry, bro, but I'm in the know and you're not. Which is so awesome.
Now that I think about it, at that point, it was very feasible that like Ben could have swayed the numbers to actually commit Ryan to doing that. And he could have taken out a number pretty early on. Like, he could have taken Lauren out like that.
He could have done that, but at that point, he had all of his trust in Ashley, Devin, and Lauren, and that was the four.
Yeah.
And he hated Chrissy at that point, or he was against Chrissy at that point. So I don't think he would have went with people that he didn't trust, because at that point, he trusted the four, and that's what he was rolling with.
He wasn't super against her. It was like...
Well, regardless if he was super against her at that point or not, he was with the four. Like that was the main point of that is that was his solid standing. He because could
even
have.
if he went against them in the final eight vote, and then it's like, oh, it's me, Ryan, and Chrissy. They could have, or whoever they didn't vote out could be like, you know, Ben was like with us last vote, right? And I'm sure that would have spoiled it some. So I don't know if that move would have really benefited him more. I mean, he won the game, so.
I'm just a big fan of Ben and trying to defend his win every chance I get. So,
I feel like, honestly, if the fire making challenge didn't happen and he won that last challenge, I would have been fine. But he didn't. Yeah. He got a fucking get out of jail free card.
I do also just want to mention the I believe this is the only time that it happened, but I'm not sure. It might have happened again, but. That minority split vote in David versus Goliath is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's 12 people and seven of them are voting for Christian, and Davey and Nick and who was the other guy?
Davey, Nick, Christian.
It was Christian and Gabby.
Gabby.
With minority of that.
The one with the bald one, the cowboy sound one.
Carl. Yeah. Carl.
Yeah. Davey, Nick, and Carl kind of know, like, hey, they're voting for Christian, but I'm pretty sure what happened was they didn't want to tell Christian because, one, they, like, he was a part of the Brochachos. He kind of thought, like, oh, he might think, like, no, they're not voting for me. Come on, guys. And also, like, if he tells Gabby that information, it could just go way out of hand. And so I think Nick and Davey and Carl just kind of saw, like, there's a plan here where we could just have what we want if we just keep quiet to the three of us. So it's crazy to me that, like, there's 12 votes and only three of them ended up mattering. And so seven of them vote for Christian, but Davey uses his idol for Christian. And then they make it a 3-2 split against John and someone else. I don't know, but then John.
It was Angelina, but she convinced what's his name to play the idol for her, and didn't even need to. So not only did they flush an idol, and it wasn't even played correctly, they played an idol correctly and got the Goliathy Goliath out. So
yeah, the Goliath of all Goliaths.
Maybe one of the most well executed plans with idols ever.
Yeah.
And another thing Cameron and I were talking about before we started rolling, we didn't even realize how beneficial John was to that Goliath group until after he had gone, because that's when the Goliaths truly have their downfall and a true fall from grace, because up until that point, the Goliath, they were sticking strong. Like you guys were saying, like it was going to be a pogonging of the Davids if they hadn't executed that move to perfection. And
I just love how it really just came down to the Goliaths had more numbers and they were overpowering the Davids, and the Davids used their tools to their advantage to take down the Goliaths. That can't, like, yeah. How did that happen? That was that you can't plan that. That's
you can't
so
write
amazing.
It better. You
yeah,
cannot
you can't
write it
you cannot write it better for a David versus Goliath season. That was the quintessential David versus Goliath move to happen. So,
and it was like Christian was on one end and John was on the other, like yeah. The most David and the most Goliath.
It also hurt just a little bit because growing up, I watched John in WWE and I would just watch his, like, he was always a captivating performer. I loved him from pretty much from the get. So when I had started watching Survivor back and watching the seasons I had missed, and you guys had mentioned to me, David vs. Goliath is a really good season. You should check it out. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll do it. I start watching episode one and I see John frickin' Morrison right then and there on my television screen. And I'm like, dude, you're in this? Oh, I'm rooting for you all the way. So,
and he was awesome.
He was great. And
I'm gonna say that him, once it was Christian seven times and then Angelina, that first John vote where he like, oh, I'm like, I was legitimately shocked. I don't think I've ever been more shocked by a vote being read ever than that moment. I was like, what? No
way. It was like
the shock
sad too, because I was like, no, I know what's gonna happen, but I did like John, but I do understand that this needs to happen.
It's a move that whenever I think about it, I just feel like, all right, well, now after we're done talking about it, I have to go and find it on YouTube and watch it again because it's that damn good.
Yeah, it's very good. Well,
I think that covers the best of the best.
I think we talked about all the good ones. If you are listening and you think that we missed some, sorry.
I mean, I'm sure there's a ton because I think there's like 30 or so successful idol plays. Maybe it's closer to 40, something like that. And so like successful, but then also like the best of the best would be like how they managed to do like after and what they did with that idol in context of like what they did beforehand and what they did afterwards. So I feel like with all the idols there have been in Survivor, these have stacked up as like they're more than just like I saved myself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Another quick one to point out, we briefly touched on it, David and Millennials Gen X. That is another super like longevity one going, like he would have been out there, and it was very clear that it's like, oh, he's getting voted out early. But that one idol play basically launched his game to make him a very good player and a very memorable player.
Are you talking about when he saved Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that to save Jessica. She was with the two of them now. And then a tribe swap happened, and Ken and Jessica were together with Adam, Figgy, and Taylor. And so if Jessica wasn't there, then she could have never swayed Adam to their side and vote out Figgy and Taylor and then end up going close to the end together.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of different things could have changed. But yeah,
it
would have
been a totally different MBGX. Totally different.
Oh, totally different. Well,
anyways,
we talked about some idols. We talked about some plays. We talked about some best idol plays.
And idols of ours. Survivor players that we see as idols.
True.
Yes.
Very true.
Anything
and
else?
I don't think so.
All right.
On that
note, I feel bad about forgetting one idol play that I'm like, oh, fuck. I should have mentioned that.
But yeah, literally, as you were saying that last bit about Davy's play, I was like, wait, did we talk about Davy? Oh, my God, I swear we better have. And then you did. And I was like, thank God. Okay.
I think we mentioned it earlier, but didn't, like, cover it.
Yeah.
Well, if we need to do a part two, we could do a part two.
Oh, we totally could do a part two. But with that being said, if you want us to do a part two, let us know. Follow us on socials at Survivors Ready _ on Instagram and at Survivors_ Ready on TikTok. And yeah.
Thanks for listening. Boys.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
We'll see you in the next one.